Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hit radio show Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the information out there that's designed to improve your life? Do you know that you're destined to become more? Are you sometimes afraid to fully express who you are? Authenticity Rising with Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz will provide simple solutions for stepping into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Christine and Sabrina invite you to join them each week on Transformation Talk Radio and rise to the occasion of your life. Now, here are your hosts, Christine and Sabrina.
Hello, everyone. I'm Christine Upchurch, and you are listening to Authenticity Rising on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you to rise to the occasion of your life. Every Monday on Transformation Talk Radio, we have some of the most authentic, leading-edge teachers on the planet who can help you to discover true empowerment. And today is no different, but there is something different today. My partner in crime, or my partner in fun, shall I say, Sabrina Fritz, is not here. She is on a cruise in the Caribbean, having a great time, I'm sure. She's there with her husband, and she's needed some time away, and I'm so pleased for her that she has it. And, you know, I have to tell you, over the weekend, I was feeling a little bit jealous, but at this moment, I feel like I'm the lucky one because I'm so excited about our guest today. Before I introduce him, I just want to mention that this is somebody I found out about, probably about a month ago. I get on Facebook, I do a little bit on Facebook, and some of my Facebook friends were posting some quotes from this gentleman, and I'm thinking, wow, that's really insightful, and this is really deep. And so I feel like I've just made this great discovery because this man, Jeff Brown, is an author who has written some amazing books. And so many of you may already know who he is, Jeff Brown. And if you don't, by the end of this hour, you're going to be asking yourself, why didn't you know before who he is? Because his work is really profound. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce him. I have to tell you that this show focuses on authenticity, and this man has been This man has been on his own authentic journey and has made some interesting choices along the way that offers us lessons about what it means to step into authenticity. He's a former criminal lawyer and psychotherapist. He's the author of Soul Shaping, A Journey of Self-Creation, and he just released Ascending with Both Feet on the Ground. He's been endorsed by authors Elizabeth Lesser, Araya Mountain Dreamer, and Catherine Woodward Thomas. And his latest book is a collection of Jeff's most popular spiritual graffiti, quotes, soul bites, and I'm having a very authentic moment today. I guess I miss you, Sabrina. I'm so sorry. It's frequently shared on Facebook and other social media. He's also the co-producer and primary journeyer of just completed spiritual documentary, Carmageddon. Welcome, Jeff Brown.
Thanks, Christine. Yeah. Nice to be here. And, you know, the nice thing is that nobody's marking us. So, you know, one of the reasons I make up words is because I don't know the real ones, and I fumble them all the time. So I like it when we can start a show off on the real foot.
Yeah, and, you know, we have lots of authentic moments on this show, and one of the things we teach is, and even though we're teaching workshops on authenticity and we've got a show about it, we're all on our authentic journey, and it's a never-ending journey. You know, it's stepping into more and more authenticity. Yeah. And I have to tell you that some of the most humorous moments in my life have been very authentic moments. But thank you so much for joining us today and listening to my fumbled introduction of you.
It's okay. It's my pleasure. Happy to be here to talk about Authenticity Rising. It's a really beautiful show name, and so much of my work, I guess, in my life has really been about differentiating between misidentification and whatever the authentic self was, what I call true path. And
right,
you know, that's the work, right?
Yes. And, you know, you have made some interesting choices in your life. You know, you were poised once upon a time to be an amazing criminal lawyer, and you chose not to go down that path. Why is that, Jeff?
Oh, because I'm a putz. You know, my uncle often said, "You're just a putz." You know. It's what I wrote about so much. The soul shaping was, I had a call or a voice, a part of me that I referred to as Little Missy.
Right.
Representative of this template of possibility that lived inside of me. You know, criminal law was truly part of my path. There was nothing wrong with making the move when I did. I used to see a very famous Canadian lawyer named Eddie Greenspan on television as an adolescent, and I often said, I'm going to work with that man one day. It was absolutely important that I had that experience with him and ended up articling with him in Canada, did a big murder trial with him, and really was poised to become a prominent criminal trial lawyer. And then this part of me that had always been inside of me and had been more active in my early 20s just really showed up when I was about to sign on the dotted line and rent an office with some other young lawyers and step mm-hmm. into that journey and probably never ever leave it. It was really a key moment, and I wasn't really clear at all in what direction I was going to walk. I had glimpses of possibility, but this little missy part of me, this voice that whispered sweet somethings in my inner ear, was very... subtle, and in her own way, she was telling me where not to walk, but she wasn't telling me the path that I was supposed to walk. And
right.
and for whatever reason, I listened to her. You know, I didn't sign that lease, and I stepped back from it and did deeper emotional work to clear emotional debris, and then did more work to explore other pathways. And so when I went back to law to try it out, I'd already kind of stepped into some other journey. I was on another path now, and had a different perspective on trial law and what it meant to me. And then I stopped regretting it and just, you know, spent a number of years figuring out what was next. Yeah.
So what you just said seems really profound in that you were saying that you had to let go of the inauthentic path before you knew exactly what direction you were supposed to go.
In my case, I did. You know, I mean, it was a completed path. It was the authentic path, and then it wasn't. I had such an intense year with Eddie. I did a major murder trial, the Tony Mullerny Michael Wade Lawson trial. It was a bit of a media trial here. And it really was like I was stepping into it was like I was on the biggest stage of all. It was perfect. I didn't have to go back and prove myself for 20 years to get there. I was right there. I saw what it would be like if I practiced and built practice and did that kind of work. And
right.
And so, yeah, by the time I was done, it was just done. I mean, I remember there was this moment with Eddie in my articling year when he called me in the office, and I think we just won the trial, and he said, so what are your plans, you know? And I gave him some political answer. I want to practice law. But really, I heard this voice inside of me and said, it's over now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just over now. And you can't go on like this with this. And then, you know, one thing led to another. And I had a spiritual emergency in the bar admission course, really intense inner war battle about past going on inside of me before stepping back, just barely stepping back. I mean, it's, you know, it's not an easy, I mean, you know, I never want to advise people to wait for this blaring trumpet that tells them with absolute certainty where they're walking. In a world
right.
where survivalism is all we define ourselves as, whatever puts food on the table is who we are. If you're questing for the authentic face, you're you know, this is the world's not set up for it, and your inner world's not set up for it. There's so many inner languagings in the way, and so it was like 51% of me said don't go here, and 49% said
right.
go there, and that's what it was until you get evidence, and it takes time to get evidence. So it's a leap of fate. I mean, that's what it is at first, you know.
Yeah. And it seems like if you don't listen to that voice, you know, you get bit in the butt. I mean, I know that for me,
yeah.
I experienced that same kind of inner knowingness when I was in graduate school, you know, moving forward to work on my doctorate in statistics. And I just kept pushing forward, even though my little missy, or maybe for me it would be little mister, inside my head was saying, no, this isn't connected to your heart. And I didn't listen and eventually got cancer. So one way or another, I think that, you know, the inner voice that's urging us to be who we truly are, express who we truly are in human form, talks to us either quietly in whispers or loudly.
You got no choice. You know,
yeah,
you're going to suffer. You know, not that walking true path is easy, but you don't mm-hmm. suffer. It's just can be real hard, especially in a world not set up for it. But yeah, you I would have, you know, I would have, something would have happened to me physically, or I would have got shot in a courtroom, or something would have happened to usher me out of this life and into the next one before I'd make the step away from the habitual warrior consciousness that I was so familiar with. I mean, it had to happen, but it's hard going. You know, it's getting a little easier because I think there are shows like Authenticity Rising. I mean, there's a Facebook soul pod to support you. When I was doing this, right. There was nobody. There was nothing. Nobody was, you know, trying to hear a whisper from within themselves and trying to honor that path. I didn't know anyone who was doing this. Everybody was defining who they were by what was practical, you know.
Right.
And it was completely impractical. And everything I do is impractical. It's just trusting that there's some deeper knowing, that there are some soul scriptures that are encoded in us that we come into this life with. You know, James Hillman used the term in innate image, like that we have an image we're walking towards within us, and we have to listen to truth aches and honor the sacred grumbles that lead us in that direction. And you know, to me, without a life that's like that, without sacred purpose at the core of my being, then I, you know, if all I'm here to do is just find the pragmatic path, then I'm not particularly interested in that.
Right. So how do you define truth aches?
Truth aches are just any, they can come in any form. I mean, obvious forms like depression or a sense of hopelessness or agitation or even anger or rage, you know, false path, soul's wrath, right? Like, so,
right.
But they can come in any form, anything in your life that indicates that you're some symptom of your malaise, some symptom of your not honoring the path that lives inside of you. You know, being in a relationship and hearing a voice that you keep burying that says, this isn't the person for you, you know.
Right.
This isn't the job for you. This isn't the country for you. This, you know, you need to live in the city. I mean, whatever it happens to be that's ushering you or inviting you like a distant flute in the direction of something that's really genuine and authentic. We're not trained to think about this. We're not, nobody tells us how magnificent we are. Very few people hear that ever. And, you know, with so much collective shame and there's so much obstructing us and there's so much good advice around pragmatism in this world. You know, take the union job, at least you'll have food on the table.
Yes.
You know, so when you decide to move in the direction of some voice inside of you that knows why you're here, that has callings built inside of you, I mean, it's, you know, it's radical. It's you're creating a new way of being, and you have to find faith in that. And so it's, it's challenging.
And peers and colleagues look at you cross-eyed when you talk about not going down that path that, you know, is almost guaranteeing you success and abundance in the material realm, right?
Absolutely. So if survivalism is all you care about, then that's where you go, because you want to pay the mortgage down quickly. You want to secure, you know, I mean, there's so many illusions around it. And certainly in 2008, many of us realized that even the so-called secure paths, like banks and car companies, weren't actually that secure at all. And I think that's shifted things. Now people are going, well, wait a minute. That's not even a guaranteed path anymore. So I may as well find my real path. Right?
Exactly. It's and survival isn't guaranteed. And even people who are surviving just fine, though, I think there are a lot of people these days who are feeling this inner discomfort, you know, the truth aches that you're referring to, that's kind of pushing them to become something more. And many people are kind of stuck not knowing what that means, because you're right, we haven't been given the context to find our way, to excavate our way to our authentic self.
Right. And there's so much spiritual bypass move. There's so much energy around the spiritual bypass movement that's really pulling people away from the self and the work that had been done in the self. You know, if you read Eckhart Tolle talking about witnessing your pain body and it evaporates, you know what, we've caught ourselves in a ridiculous situation.
You know,
for me, my soul scriptures, you know, my true path incorporate and encompass my callings, archetypal pathways I'm here to evolve towards and away from, and key emotional issues I'm here to work through in relationship to other and to self. And so jumping into that pain body and working that material through is how I grow in my spirituality. You know, I say repressed emotions are unactualized spiritual lessons. The pseudo non-dual movement, the radical detachment movement, which is a positive movement if it's seen as a tool, particularly detachment, to pull up and out of our localized lens and we realize we're something more and something deeper is fantastic. But at some point, and those kinds of writers don't know what to do next, we have to come back down into our bodies and work with what lives inside of us. They don't know that.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it's self-avoidance masquerading as enlightenment. So this movement away from the self in the self in the bypass movement is not serving us in our quest to figure out who the hell we are.
Yeah, and that's really important. I want to talk more about this with when we return, Jeff. We're going to take a quick break. This is Christine Upchurch on Authenticity Rising. Stay tuned.
The hit radio show Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina is energizing people everywhere to rise to the occasion of their lives. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the information out there that's designed to improve your life? Do you feel that you're destined to become more? Are you sometimes afraid to fully express who you are? Let Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina help you to step into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Co-host Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz invite you to join them every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio and rise to the occasion of your life. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today. Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Gratitude, asks the heart. Tell me, who are you? I would like to meet you and get to know you better. Gratitude responds, I am that which strikes at your door and waits until you open it with grace. I am that which only wants to partner with you at any moment. I am that which wishes your expansion more than anything. Gratitude is on a mission to create a partnership between the hearts of all human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this state of being every single day? Stimulate the energy of the essence of gratitude in your life while bathing in this wonderful and powerful vibration with our diamond combo and transform your life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
Hi, we're back on Authenticity Rising with author Jeff Brown. He's the author of Ascending with Both Feet on the Ground. And I just love the title of that book, Jeff. So what does it mean to ascend with both feet on the ground?
Shall I read you the definition from the Soul Shaping Dictionary? What the heck?
Yes.
Ascending with both feet on the ground is a philosophy of grounded spirituality, obviously. We grow by coming down into our body and our personhood and learning the lessons necessary for our expansion. You have to grow down to grow up. Ascending with both feet on the ground is the idea that our ascension is to a more heightened or inclusive consciousness can only be sustained if it's an embodied unfolding from the ground up, from soul, S-O-L-E, to soul, S-O-U-L. Wow. We begin with the root chakra. The quest for Om begins at home. We work our way up from there. It's not enough for our feet to merely skim the ground. The mythic life begins with our feet planted on Mother Earth. With our souls firmly planted, our soul has a leg to stand on in its efforts to go higher. Once the root chakra is satisfied, we proceed to the next chakras. As we heal, there emerges a natural and sustainable movement upward toward God. This philosophy bridges the Eastern quest for the eternal with the Western quest for emotional health and a healthy self-concept.
Beautiful. So it's like moving all the way up all those chakras and making sure that all of them are vibrantly healthy, including the root chakra that's connected to this earth.
Absolutely. Well, starting there, you know, because that's, for many of us in the survivalist vibration, that's one of our most challenging areas and the area, unresolved area, we're most impacted by. And, you know, my idea of, when I use the word spirituality, if I'm saying someone's a very spiritual person, what I mean is that they're living in many different threads of reality rather than just one or two. Quite often in the culture, spirituality is defined as the opposite. Someone who's perfected a thread, like a perfected witness observer like Eckhart, or perfected something called pseudo non-duality, or perfected some technique with the emotional body and becomes absolutely expert at it, and people come to them to learn that piece, is defined as spiritual. That's not spiritual for me. Spiritual for me is enrealment. It's being in all places at all times. Emotional body is open and alight. Heart chakra is strong. All the chakras are cleared and vital. You know, the mind is strong. You're aware of a unified field of perception. You're aware of your place in the unity. And at the same time, you're also aware of your individualized sacred purpose in the heart of it, your value, magnificence, and significance. And so you're everywhere at one time. That, to me, is spirituality. But it's quite often construed to be something entirely different.
Beautiful. And I just love your term, enrealment. That's so appropriate. It looks like we've got a caller on the line. Mel, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Mel. Welcome to Authenticity Rising.
Hi, Christine. Hi, Jeff again.
Hi, Mel.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
You know, I do. I was on his website this weekend, and I finally had a question. This work that you do when it comes to the writing and the movies, what level of consciousness do a person have to be before they can sort of take advantage of it? Like my mother and other people, I'm excited about it myself, but I wanted to spread it out. I wanted to talk to people about it, and some people may not, you know, may be a little closed-minded. I was wondering, could you just give them, you know, your new book or the book before that, and they will, you know, get something out of it, or they will open up a little more and be excited about it like I am, or will do you have to be a little different in your conscious openness to different ideas to really, you know, absorb this kind of teaching?
Yes. I've had an interesting experience with that. You know, like the quotes book is really pretty accessible. You know, I mean, I use kitschy language, and I think that's helpful to access more of a mainstream audience. And Soul Shaping has been read
by the second one, right?
That's, yeah, the second one, just the book. But Soul Shaping, you know, I mean, for sure, if somebody's in an avoidance place where they really have absolutely no interest in reflecting on themselves or reflecting on what this life is, they're not going to want to read a book like this. But so many, you know, mainstream people who really lived in a survivalist consciousness all their lives, especially older people, read Soul Shaping and can relate to it. And at least some part of it. I tried to make that book as relatable as I could and to cover so much ground, including practical realities and the struggle to have a heartful life. I mean, how many people on the planet can relate to that? Almost everybody, you know. But, you know, there's people who are absolutely determined not to read anything that reflects on reality. And, you know, you're never gonna tap into that market, you know. Thankfully, the mainstream... Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. No, I was going to say the second book that you wrote is like your observations and like paragraphs with like quotes and like that. That's how the second book is set up. Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, it's just soul bites, little soul bites, you know, and there's three blogs at the back that were very popular, Apologies to the Divine Feminine, Masculine, and the Awakening Man, but mostly it's, I think, 168 pages, and each page just has one quote or status on Facebook that people resonated with.
Wow. And okay, well, I talked to you recently, but at least I had a question this time because, like you said, you don't really, you know, you don't do workshops and stuff. You're sort of still doing your work and still evolving. So I guess I'm on for the ride because I like it. I got exposed to you a couple of months ago, and I sort of been like, what is this? Because it kept connecting to me, and I didn't have the right question before, but now I feel like this weekend with Thanksgiving, I said, well, I want to know what's going on. I didn't even know you was on. I just sort of was looking around the internet, and then boom, I saw you, and I said, let me call in and ask about my mom and family and this just talk, and that was it.
Nice. It'd be interesting, Jamal, if you read the quotes book and sit with your family and read some of the quotes. It'd be interesting to see how they respond to them, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. And Mel, I'd just like to add something there. It seems to me that sometimes when we're on our paths, when we get to a certain stage, a certain level, we decide that we want to bring other loved ones up to the same stage or the same level. And part of really like embodying our spirituality is being perfectly fine with wherever the other person is. So it's really a double-edged sword. You want to help people, but you also need to be able to back off if it's not right for them at that time. Because I found that, you know, when I'm trying to fix it for somebody else, it actually interferes more with their journey, and they're less likely to be invited into what it is I have to share.
That's true. That's true. I've experienced that with medical things with different family members, and they had to, no matter how much I did, they just, that's true.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling today, Mel.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tramel.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
So, Jeff, I would love to read a quote from your book. It's a question that you write, and I'm going to ask if you will answer it as well. In Soul Shaping, you said, "Could I shape my path with my own intention, or was it already carved, simply awaiting detection?" Have you ever figured out the answer to that one?
Figured it out. I think it's all true. I think that we come in with a particular template, say the scriptures.
Right.
You know, I had so many glimpses of what my path was and what path I was here to walk throughout my life. You know, Ryder and Eddie and Law, all that stuff. But at the same time, that wasn't enough. You know, I had to... I realized at some point it was like I thought I would just lie on the couch and let all of these pathways of possibility kind of flood through me, and then I would know exactly which one to walk next. And that often wasn't true. I often had to go and actualize a path and depth charge, adventure into the path. I call them depth charges. Just jump in and have a curiosity and think it might be part of your path. And you can do this relationships as well, and then just go and have the experience and get the information that you need. And so I think it's true. I think there really is a shape, an encoded image, what James Hillman called the innate image, really who I could be.
Author of Soul Code, correct? You're talking
right,
about?
Right, fine. Exactly. Yeah. All the Thomas More's work, all that stuff, that are really who you could become if you honor your true path in this lifetime, how you'll stand, how you'll walk, where your energy will be, how you'll move through the world, and how different that will be as an evolution of the soul thing from the beginning of life to the end. And so the work of my life is to figure out what path I'm here to walk, to become that, to embody that, to find the innate image and become it, and then move forward in my journey towards wholeness. But it requires a lot of effort. This is not you don't just ask the universe for what you want and you become it. That's completely delusional. If you've done the prep work, they'll probably chime in and support you. But if you haven't, then they're just going to make life difficult until you do the work. And so for me, I mean, so much of this has been about, almost this whole journey has been about hard work, the school of hard knocks, to what I call divine perspiration. You know, it's like, great, you know, I figured that I was here to write. Well, so what? I've still got to sit down on my ass and I've got to write a book. I mean, I've got to struggle and deal with the voices that tell me I don't have a right to write a book. All of this stuff that comes up in the heart of that journey and that process, you have to, you know, this path is not for the faint of soul. You have to have a lot of stamina, and you have to have a lot of faith, and you have to have a lot of courage.
Right. But you also talked about how you get support. And how has that support come about for you?
Well, you know, I talk about soul pod, and the soul pod's always changing. Soul pod are just people of resonance at different stages of your journey. At first, they're your family of origin, and then they can still be, but it could also move beyond that, and it maybe move away from that. So, you know, I often was capable. I mean, I was a hard worker on my own. I was really a lone wolf warrior worker for many years. But now, as I'm writing and fatigued and trying to hold together so many different things, the support of the Facebook Soul Pod has been amazing. You know, I get like, an email of validation at just the right moment, or, you know, something written on the wall that's quoting something of mine that tells me that I'm moving in the right direction. And, you know, it's fantastic. And I've also been able to, and I think this is important, to identify key figures, that people that are really sticky. Like, you just know there's something in that. They're like, you know, like, so when I saw Eddie Greenspan on TV, it's realizing that guy was a portal for me.
Right.
You know, Ram Dass, who I was is in Carmageddon, I interview him, was a portal. I learned so much in those brief hours of interviewing him for the film, and knowing, you know, certain women that I've encountered in my life, knowing when I meet them that there's something deeply meaningful and significant about those connections, and jumping into those connections, because that's where it happens. It doesn't happen in the peripheral connections. It happens in really the primary ones, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
This is a fabulous conversation with Jeff Brown, and this is Christine Upchurch on Authenticity Rising. We're going to come back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Saskia Roel came to America with 5 children and 1 suitcase to follow her dream. She is a soul empowerment coach and best-selling author. Do you want to find your soulmate, the job of your life, or simply thrive? Let Saskia teach you how to turn adversities into adventures and how to live your ideal life. Go to yoursoulguidance.com and enter to win a free session with Saskia. That website again is yoursoulguidance.com. Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Wednesday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Time, and express and experience the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment as you listen to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson. Get ready for a packed hour of laughter, tears, and a soul full of emotions as Elizabeth raises your vibration and shifts your spirit. For more information about Elizabeth and to schedule a session, visit ElizabethCookson.com. The hit radio show Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina is energizing people everywhere to rise to the occasion of their lives. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the information out there that's designed to improve your life? Do you feel that you're destined to become more? Are you sometimes afraid to fully express who you are? Let Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina help you to step into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Co-host Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz in invite you to join them every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio and rise to the occasion of your life.
Hi, this is Christine Upchurch on Authenticity Rising, and today I've got the pleasure of speaking with Jeff Brown, author of Soul Shaping and Ascending with Both Feet on the Ground. Jeff, can you please tell our listeners how to connect with you?
Yeah, everything's on my website, soulshaping.com. There's a link to goes over to Carmageddon, the movie, my film, and all the fan page. You know, there's a Jeff Brown fan page on Facebook. I have a lot of support and activity there. And there's a Soul Shaping book group on Facebook and an International Year of the Woman book group and an Open Heart Gang fan page. And all of it's on the site. There's a Jeff's writing section. Just I was writing some inspirations for Good Morning America and other people, and so all those links are there. And there's a number of video links to my Soul Shaping channel on YouTube as well.
Terrific. Yeah. And yeah, I found you via Facebook, and I'm so glad I did. And, you know, you were just talking about something that I think is really important that a lot of people actually relate to, and that is the significant other relationships. I call them romantic relationships, but oftentimes they're anything but romantic because there's a lot of dysfunction. What's the purpose of these significant other relationships?
You're talking about intimate relationships?
Intimate relationships, yes.
Well, you know, I kind of have a bias. You know, I believe ultimately that the ultimate gateway to God comes through intimate partnership and relationship.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I don't know that we're really at a stage where we can hold that safe in the highest and most subtle levels yet. We all know how challenging that can be. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really believe that our obsession, perpetual obsession with love is actually grounded in something valuable and worthwhile, but that most of us at this stage of development are still at the individual unresolved stage. And, you know, it's all we can do to manage our own stuff and figure ourselves out and define what our path is. And so when you try to mix that in with someone else who's mostly at that same stage of uncertainty or confusion, it becomes really difficult. But, you know, I write a lot about gender and think a lot about gender. I'm writing a higher consciousness love story right now about a love experience that I wrote about in Soul Shaping, an uncommon bond soulmate experience. And so, you know, I have really good things to say about it, but I also have become, through experience, very realistic about the challenges that are, you know, that confront us in our efforts to experience relationship as a portal to God.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And do you feel that people actually open up and become, you know, you're talking about intimacy. Do you feel like people actually do that within the context of these relationships, or do you feel like people get into relationships and tend to shut down?
Depends on the people, you know. I mean, I think that really, you know, this as much, you know, as important as it is to work with relationship as a tool of expansion, and a tool for heart opening, and you know, at the same time, it all comes back to your path, and not everyone's path is to work with relationship primarily as a soul scripture, as a fundamental, the true path. You know, it depends on your, some people are really here to work. Mother Teresa was here to do other work, you know,
right.
And
yes.
Some writers are here to do other work, and, you know, it's not really their primary focus. And so I think that really it comes back to the self for me. Everyone has to decide who they are. Or
yes.
clarify who they are that lives inside of them, and then decide where a relationship fits with that. And, you know, this idea that if you don't find the right relationship, you know, it's just like if you don't call them the one, your life as a failure is now being revealed to be ridiculous.
Right, right.
It's not about calling in the one, it's about calling in the path. And if the one is part of the path, perfect. And if the one isn't part of the path, perfect. It's all perfect as long as you find your path.
Right. Oh, yeah. I love that perspective because I think for many years, people were talking about finding their path was in terms of what their career should be.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some, it is absolutely relating to their career. And for others, the career is absolutely irrelevant to their paths.
Yeah. You know, if you find peace with path, you're one of the luckiest people on the planet. And I mean, that's beautiful, and it really doesn't matter where that is, you know. The world doesn't have anything to say about that that's of any value, you know. Your parents may want to tell you to walk another path because they're concerned that if you don't have a union job, you're not going to have security, whatever that is. That's survivalism.
Right.
But if authenticity, as we cross the bridge from survivalism as our defining principle to authenticity as our defining principle, really the question is peace with path. You know, have you found peace with your path? And if you have, there's nothing to think about. You know, I mean, that's, you know, if we have the whole planet finding their sacred purpose, however subtle or humble that is, we're not going to hurt each other anymore. You know, there's
right.
not going to be all this hatefulness anymore because we're going to be at peace with our path.
We will have dealt with our stuff.
Yeah,
right?
we walk through it already, you know, and it's enough already. You know, I don't want to, like, you know, I had a lot of aggression, you know, in the confusion of path. And, you know, there were some people I wanted to whack, you know, and I don't
right.
really feel that way anymore. I mean, now and then, of course, but it's different. It just becomes like a buffer against the nonsense or something. You know, they should be teaching sacred purpose in primary school. I mean, that, you know, it's
that's
where it starts. That's where it starts. You get kids thinking about this question from the very beginning. What the hell am I doing here? Not just what job, but like, what am I here to learn? What are my issues? Why did I manifest that family? You know,
right.
I mean, wow. You know, what archetype? You know, whoa. It's like a whole other inquiry.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know you had an incredibly difficult childhood, and when I was reading some of your stories, I had this like dual reaction. Part of me really recognized aspects of the, you know, abusive energy, even though I didn't suffer that same kind of abuse. There was some of that same energy within my family, and so I identified with that. But the mother in me, I'm a mother of two boys, and I just felt so protective of you and any child who's being brought up. Yeah. So, you know, it feels like somehow we need to educate parents to become more conscious so that the kids don't have to wait until they get into, you know, preschool or grade school to learn about this, but rather they're raised by parents who actually see the God within them and recognize their perfection and have dealt with their own crap.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's so many levels to what has to change. I mean, you know, educating parents on that they're looking at a God seed sitting before them is important, but not very helpful if they haven't worked through their emotional debris. I mean, if they're carrying all this rage, individual and collective rage for it, we have to heal the collective heart. You know, that's what I think we have to do, because the more work through that collective heart is, the more we immediately shift into our natural tendency, which is to be loving.
You know? So what do you mean by the collective heart?
Well, I feel like what we're carrying, you know, we're nestled in something here. This is not just about my mother's unresolved rage. She's also was carrying forward the rage of Jewish culture for all the Jews had endured. She was carrying forward the whole human collective, the stage of human development where, you know, we're all hiding our light under a bushel of shame to some extent. So few of us understand how magnificent this human experience is. So few of us look in the mirror and go, oh my God, you are so beautiful, you beautiful God seed. I mean, you know, you know, we keep projecting it onto other people because we're not ready to see it in the mirror yet. And of course, they're going to disappoint us, you know. So we have so much work to do to understand what a great gift this life is. We don't really understand how much magnificence lives inside of us. And, you know, we don't even feel, many of us, like we have permission to honor that. And then when you get into this bypass movement, which pushes us away and against the self, you know, talks about, you know, disparages every element of the ego, even the healthy ego and self-concept, it's very confusing for people.
I agree.
On the one hand, they're in the Americana where they're trying to go to therapy to feel good about themselves, and then they're going into yoga studios that don't understand spirituality, and or meditators who are, or non-dual teachers who are telling them that all of it is not real, it's all an illusion. Every element of the ego and the self is an illusion. And how confusing is that? Talk about putting the cart before the horse. You know, you can't come to oneness in a sustainable way until you have a self to come home to. These people have got it all backwards.
I wholeheartedly agree. And, you know, does oneness mean we're all the same?
No, absolutely not.
We think the same, behave the same, or spiritual in the same way?
No. I'm just trying to find. I have a quote. I want to find a quote, if I can quickly. Can I read a quote quickly from Ascending?
Absolutely.
On this topic, right? If all oneness is not built on a healthy regard for the rights, boundaries, and magnificent of the individual soul, it's all nonsense. Grounded spirituality strikes a sacred balance between our experience of unity consciousness and our connection to true path, that place where we feel both connected to the oneness and deeply connected to our sacred purpose in the heart of it. The idea that we're all one takes on a whole new meaning when we interact with unity from an individuated and clarified purpose. There's the ocean of essence, and there's the individual droplet of meaning. Every soul has a vital role to play in this dance of sacred imagination.
Wonderful.
So it's all there at one time. It's enrealment. It's Western consciousness. It's the quest for unity consciousness and the quest for a healthy ego, a healthy sense of self, and a healthy self-concept. all of that and finding that point of balance where you're not too much evaporating into oneness and not too much focused on the self, like narcissistically,
right.
That's the place to find that place. That's the place to live, I think.
I agree, and I'm so thrilled that somebody who writes about spirituality is saying that the ego is not something to be totally transcended.
No, I couldn't write a book without a healthy ego.
Yeah,
I couldn't
exactly.
talk to you right now without a healthy ego. I couldn't have built my life without a healthy ego and pulled myself out of hell. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So much of the work of my life in my 20s and 30s was about restoring, expanding, and developing my self-concept. You know, people who disparage the ego are the same people who disparage the emotional body, personal identification,
right.
physical body. They're bypassers who can't deal with the pain of life, so they're discrediting everything self-related. It's self-avoidance masquerading as enlightenment. It's Tolle talking about witnessing the pain body as opposed to jumping into the pain body, as though somehow that witnessing state where we disconnect from our feelings, where we can't feel our body and our heart anymore, is some kind of a heightened consciousness experience. No, it's a substandard non-spiritual experience. It's a one-thread tool that we need when we need to stay alive and not kill ourselves. But then we've got to come back down into our bodies and work with what lives inside of us and honor this great gift of a body and an identification. And my name is Jeff Brown, and thank you, Mother, for birthing me and all of that. We're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
spirituality.
I agree.
It's not even spirituality to me. It's complete pseudo. They're non-dualists who disparage everything we need. It doesn't make sense.
Yes, I agree. And more with Jeff Brown when we return.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camino Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade-grown delicious coffee. The Camino Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 250 callers. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
The hit radio show Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina is energizing people everywhere to rise to the occasion of their lives. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the information out there that's designed to improve your life? Do you feel that you're destined to become more? Are you sometimes afraid to fully express who you are? Let Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina help you to step into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Co-host Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz invite you to join them every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio and rise to the occasion of your life. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Hi, we're back on Authenticity Rising, and I'm having a fascinating conversation with Jeff Brown, author of Soul Shaping and Ascending with Both Feet on the Ground. Jeff, it's been fun talking to you both on air and off today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's been great.
You know, this final segment is normally a time when Sabrina and I sort of offer our listeners an opportunity to take something that they've learned over the course of the 45 minutes of the hour and implement it in their daily life. We call it Authenticity Rising into Action. And I was wondering if you have anything that you would like to encourage our listeners to do in their lives.
You know, just to create space for this inquiry. You know, I use the term solitude and soul shaping, and just to create space in whatever way that works for you to develop an interface or to deepen your interface with this, what I call the little voice that knows mm-hmm. the path that you're here to walk. And, you know, I think that in this really overstimulated and overwhelmed culture, solitude is absolutely becoming more and more important all the time. We're so caffeinated, myself included, and so wired up. And, you know, I think that's what saved me. I mean, that was the place that I went to center and to heal and to learn about the path that lived in me. And if you don't create space, if you don't pull up and out of this noise, you know, this overstimulating consumerist world, then it's really hard to figure out where to plant your feet next.
Right. And I know in Soul Shaping, you talked about needing to regularly exit the city and go be in nature in order to provide that yourself that space to, you know, center yourself, which I think can be so important.
Yeah. And I don't think you need it as, I mean, once you really clarify your path, I mean, I wrote Soul Shaping in the Heart of the City. I couldn't have done that before. I needed to develop the self that came through those phases of solitude. But eventually you become this purpose and this path. And there's definitely environments that are more supportive of it, but you don't need to escape as often. But for many people at this stage, they need to. They need time alone with their soul self to figure out what the heck they're doing here.
Right. And it's kind of like the contrast between meditation and walking meditation, you know, living, breathing meditation, where you're integrated into your daily life. And I think that one of the important things that I've found within the context of, you know, being okay amongst the chaos of either a crowded room or a shopping mall or a city has been creating boundaries. Like, can you talk a little bit about boundaries?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when my therapist first used that word, it was like my whole inner world was like startled and confused because I didn't grow up in a home that had them. But if we don't know where we end and the other begins, we're not going to get anywhere on this path. And, I mean, that's really so much of the work, is to clarify that really meaningful distinction between self and other. And, you know, many of us grew up in environments there were no boundaries, so we don't know where, you know, we're inherently codependent. We don't know the distinction between ourself and other. And others were so wounded or so rigidly conditioned in their early life that their walls are so strong and the armor is so intense that nobody and nothing can get to them. So it's just finding the place, you know, in that place in between where you're really solid and strong and clear. It's like I call it selective attachment, where you connect to other, but you have a choice. You decide when the gate opens from a conscious, aware place, rather than being so malleable and open that anything can penetrate you. That's not valuable.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, boundaries is, you know, developing individual boundaries, especially if you're going to work towards something called spirituality, you've really got to get really clear on where your self stands. And if you're going to do real intense, beautiful love connection, you better have a self to come home to, or you're just going to evaporate.
Yeah. And, you know, Carolyn Mace talks about how we're all tribal in nature. And she says the only way to sort of spiritually advance a tribe is by having somebody step outside of the tribe. And aren't those boundaries in essence sort of creating that separation from the tribe so that you can actually develop and then interact with other members of the tribe to help others advance?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the stronger the sense of boundaried self, the more impactful your efforts to move outside and help humanity, for sure, you know?
Right. And that doesn't mean that you're not compassionate, right? if no. you know, if you've got boundaries.
Yeah, but conscious capitalism. Conscious capitalism's good, but conscious compassion. They're both absolutely important. No, absolutely. So, you know, you're always aware of why you're moving where you're moving. You're not just moving from some kind of patterned place, right? That's awareness, right?
Self-directed.
Yeah, yeah, and core-directed. You know, it's like, okay, does this feel really true to my path? Do I really feel that way? Do I really want to make that connection? Do I really want to forgive that person? Just making it authentic. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes you may decide you don't want to forgive somebody. It's not true for you. You know, forgiveness comes at the end of an organic process anyway, and you may go through that process and decide you don't forgive them. And, you know, the important thing is honoring your true path. Truth is the gateway to the moment. It's the only way. Truth is the gateway to the moment. If we're not living in truth, we're not here. You know, we can meditate all we want, but if we're living a lie, we're not here. You know, truthfulness is the great meditation. Just figure out what your truth is, speak it, live it, know it, and you'll be pulled right, catapulted right into the heart of the moment.
You're talking about maybe not forgiving somebody, which I think is a fabulous thing to admit on air, because there's so many people in the spiritual movement who say, well, forgiveness is the key, and therefore, if I'm spiritual, then I've forgiven everybody, you know, or I'm in the process of forgiving everybody. But
It's bullshit spirituality. You know, it's a bypass again. They don't want to deal with their stuff. They don't want to deal with their rage. They don't want to deal with the trauma memory. They don't want to deal with, so they jump to forgiveness, even though it's not organic. What does it mean to say you're forgiving someone that you haven't forgiven? It means nothing. You can talk yourself into forgiveness. It's a hard experience. It's not a cerebral construct. It's not a willfulness, an act of will. It's you got to heal the experience in your body, you know, and then when you come to forgiveness, if you do, it's really genuine. And if you decide you don't forgive them, it's genuine. We don't have an obligation to forgive wrongdoers. I don't have any obligation to forgive Nazis. I'm not interested in that. I don't forgive them. I got no problem saying that at all. I absolutely do not forgive them. And that's my truth, and I'll stand by my truth, you know. And other people who've been wrongdoers in my life, I've gone through a stage and a process, and I've been able to feel healing and forgiveness towards them. The important thing is you're just true to yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody else knows your path. Nobody else knows why you're here. It's all inside of our bones, you know. We can't listen to other people. Don't listen to me. Just go inside your bones. Your bones know everything.
You heard
I'm
that?
I'm just a schmuck on the radio. That's it. That's it.
Oh, Jeff. Well, you know, our time is up, and it's been such a pleasure to have this conversation with you today. Thank you so much for joining us. Soulshaping.com is your website, and love to have you back sometime and continue
anytime.
This conversation.
You got it, Christine. Thanks so much. I enjoyed
Thank
it.
Thank you. And you can find Sabrina and me on AuthenticityRising.com. And you can find us here every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Authenticity Rising. Join Christine and Sabrina each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Authenticity Rising provides you with simple solutions for stepping into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Tune in each week as Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz inspire you to rise to the occasion of your life. For more information about Authenticity Rising, visit www.authenticityrising.com. We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.